Sales Magic is the podcast hosted by Jackie Lyles, best-selling author, champion innovator, and an industry leader in creating growth strategies to accelerate sales and attract and retain employees. Using her proprietary qualification approach, Jackie shares proven techniques to help you navigate through change, increase your sales, and transform your results. Jackie learned how to keep recreating herself and will show you how to tap into your own magic and your own unique power to innovate. Enjoy this episode.
Hi, welcome. It's Jackie Lyles. You've joined Sales Magic, and today we have Rob Joles with us. And I'm so happy to have Rob here. We've really worked on our schedules, and you're going to enjoy it. I'm just going to give you a quick introduction to Rob, and then I'm going to let Rob tell us who the real Rob Joles is behind the story, right? Behind the scenes. He's a sought-after speaker, a five-time best-selling author. Rob has spent over 40 years traveling, over 2.5 million miles in the air, teaching, entertaining, and inspiring audiences worldwide. His books have been featured in USA Today, Investors Business Daily, Harvard Business Review, Publishers Weekly, and he spent over 100 weeks on the National Business Bestseller List and have been translated in over a dozen languages. And I just want to say that I'm enjoying one of your books right now on Audible. I just want our listeners to know How to Change Minds is changing my mind. I love it. You talk a lot about what you do. But tell us now, who is Rob Joles? The story that I didn't include.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. It's a question I'm really never asked. But right out of the gate, you got a good one. I'm thinking, who the heck am I? I think that at the end of the day, I hope I'm an authentic human being. I'm a person who, when people read my books or listen, they typically say, boy, I feel like you were sitting there right next to me. And it's like, to me, it's one of the nicest compliments. I just really think at the end of the day, we want to be who we are. And, you know, I was not blessed with height, although I wanted to be a basketball player. I wasn't blessed with intelligence, yet I wanted to be a doctor. But I consider them tremendous assets, because what I was blessed with was the ability to fight a little bit harder, to realize I wasn't quite as tall, or maybe I had to read things two or three times. But I'm a very half full person. So at the end of the day, I think it taught me to fight. It taught me to just stay in there, grind it out, and sort of like Survivor, outlast, outwit, outplay, but go get them. So I'm a very competitive person, but I think that's who I am.
Thank you, Rob. We share a lot in common. I certainly have a lot of those traits. One of my clients called me a bulldog, so I consider that a compliment. I just don't give
up. There
you
go. That's it. My dad used to call me a grunt, you know, which is sometimes saved for the military, but that's another version of bulldog. I think we do share that.
So we have some rapid fire questions so people can really get to know you. So I'm going to say two words, and I want you to pick the word that best describes you. So are you ready?
Ready to roll.
Great. Morning or evening?
Morning.
Outdoors or indoors?
That's a good one. It depends on the day of the week, but I'll go outdoors.
Adventure or chill?
Adventure.
Truck or car?
Car.
Talk or listen?
Sadly, talk. I want to listen more. But you asked for an honest answer. So want to listen more, talk a little too much.
I understand. So I have that same opportunity. I made all A's in school, and I received a C on citizenship because I talk too much. I spent a lot of time outside the library in the hall, you know, nervously waiting on Mr. Near and hoping that the principal didn't come by because I was put out because I was talking too much in the library. So,
you know, we could have been worse, right? I mean, nowadays, I think I'm the same way. What few report cards survived do say, Rob is a lot of fun, this and that. They always end with, buddy, he likes to talk, this kid. But at the end of the day, I think, you know what? Not the end of the most. We were respectful. I'll bet you were respectful in class.
I was.
And I was respectful. I would tell a joke or two, but when teacher said, that's that, that was it. We really didn't mess around back then.
No. And you know what? I talking is something I enjoy. You know, my friends say that I'm a good talker. So, you know, you got that going for you.
There are a myriad of important elements to sales, but one that might not be on your sales team's radar is how to fall in love with your customers. Connection is an integral part of the sales experience, and understanding this alongside the major business outcomes is critical to seeing the outcome that you're going for. The Business Champion Sales Method Program equips modern sales professionals with all of the information and the support that they need to become sales superstars. All you have to do to get started is to reach out to us to learn more or sign up for the Business Champion Sales Method today.
So what's the biggest business challenge that you're facing right now?
Well, it's a great question. You know, I at one point, and I want to tell you something, I feel like this is a therapy session. I'm going to tell it the way it is. So get ready.
Okay, we're ready.
You ask me a question, I'm going to give you the answer to your question.
Ready.
You know, I went 16 years booked 4 months in advance as a professional speaker. You know, when I was in my 30s, most of the CEOs and most of my contacts were in their mid-30s, upper 30s. I stood in the back of the room while a speaker might have been my age who looked ancient. And I thought, with my book tucked under my arm, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm ready to roll. And one day you wake up and you're the guy on stage and there's a 30-something with a book tucked under his arm and he's got that very hungry look, or she does. And many of the people that I kind of grew up in the industry with, I work with a lot of Fortune 500s, they've retired or they've been sort of merged out or whatever. And I think one of the biggest challenges is, as a professional speaker and as an author, it really wasn't that hard for 25 years. But the last number of years, what I tell my friends is, unlike what I thought, you fight your way to the finish line. You don't just sort of cruise into the finish line. I'm fighting my way to the finish line professionally. I'm not ready to hang up the microphone yet. Getting there. But I do remember a time when, as an author, writing a book was really special. And, you know, now sort of the well has been diluted and clients don't know whether we have a best-selling author, whether we have a published author, whether we have a self-published author. I don't have a problem with self-published authors, just referring to the clients. But tough thing is, I had a different vision. I had a vision of coming down a parade, waving and going, there's that jealous guy. And it doesn't quite work that way.
Oh, wow. That's so profound. That's a great book title, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of us, you know, that want to know the secret of that. So I think you're learning a lot. So it's incredible. So what's the one sales experience that you've had that you can say is magic?
I think one of the greatest, and again, you're asking me what my favorite movie is. It depends on the day of the week, but I'm going to tell you what comes to mind right now. One of the greatest sales experiences I ever had was, and I'm going to use the company name, was actually with Toyota. And it was with Toyota because I've worked with Toyota off and on for over 25 years. And yet, a couple years ago, we really struck a really nice deal. And it was a wonderful project. And it was exceeded all my expectations. And people said, wow, you're so lucky. And I went, I am. But that was a 25-year sales curve that I was on. And again, the guy who had to fight a little harder in school, I didn't let go. I didn't give up. I hung in there. I just kept plowing away, did little jobs here and there, just stayed relevant, followed the things that I tell other people to follow. And then all of a sudden, a wonderful project came into my lap, you know, and I smiled and I went, it was all worth it.
What a great story. It's incredible. I know I have a client that I've worked with, and it took me years to get to the right people. And then for 8 years, it was a tremendous flow. And now since then, I've been, nurturing that again and again, because there's a whole new group of leadership, whole new CEO, whole new view. And yet my work is so relevant to what they do. Everybody needs a proven process for selling. And people who are coming up and learning to sell still need help in selling. I mean, that doesn't end. And it's got to be relevant.
No, and the weird part, Jackie, is not only does it not end, but I don't want to out the title of the book on the show, but I'll tell you after off the air. But there's a great line for it. But the fact is, it's a classic situation of where our instinct is betraying logic. So most times, as a fellow sales trainer, you know that when business is flying off the shelf, they can't fill orders fast enough. They want a sales trainer in there. They're flush with cash, and they're ready to talk. Okay, it's not like you and I go, sorry, you look like you're doing fine without me. I'll turn this one down. Oh, we'll you're scoring at an 8. We're going to move you to a 9 or a 10. But the part that always gets me is you're struggling. This has been the toughest time for your sales team. Obviously, budgets are tight. But the one thing you don't want to cut right now is somebody who has the ability to save your sales team and save your numbers. This is when you need us the most. And I'm speaking for me. Maybe you'll nod and agree.
Yes.
This is the time that's the toughest for us to sell you sales training. And I knock my head on the table and go, it's just so odd. It should be the opposite.
Oh, man, that's so true. I'm working on a project right now. And I have a client that I had the engagement globally. And the lady that was leading the whole effort was so excited about it, so ready to go. And then she left the company that morning, the morning we were starting. So everything is now redone. And it's sort of like, well, do we really need to rethink our strategy? Well, yes, you do. You know, even more than ever, because now people are uncertain. And I'm looking at sales projections of publicly traded companies. I just looked at some in the last month where they're projecting less sales next year. So, you know, I think it's very important that you get ready now so that you outshine those projections. And one executive told me, well, it would be naive to say we don't have to improve. Could we improve? Yes. We're really good at what we do. Can we do it better? Yes. And I'm not quite sure he gets that means you've got to change your mind.
Right. You're right. What he's thinking is, I equate it to golf. It's like I'm hitting the ball 210 yards down the fairway. Good. Can you hit it better? Yeah. But in their mind is, if we said, so how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to swing harder. Well, we're going to want it more. Well, you know, we're gonna dream it. We're gonna write down as a goal. But you and I come from the same camp, which is that's all well and good. But we're people who teach repeatable, predictable processes.
Yes.
We want to look at the swing right now. I want to look at where your hands are on the club. I want to look at how you're turning your body. You keep looking at where the ball lands in the fairway.
That's right. It's so true. Oh, that's so true. So powerful. So what's the secret to your sales magic? Because, you know, we're in this environment right now. It's just like what you and I've talked about. But what's the secret to get your deals move forward? I would love to know that.
All right. Now, I'll snap out an answer before you can drink that coffee. But I want to know, are you talking about the way I'm selling or when I teach somebody? What's the magic what's the one thing that I think is magical?
Both.
Okay. So I'm going to follow my own script. Well, part of it, we outed on that word game you got me on, which was, I think one of the sales magics for me and for every single human being who sells is, and I don't care how long you've been selling, is how much you're talking and how much you're listening. I don't care if you know the answers to your questions. I don't care if you know more than the client knows about their business. How much are you talking and how much are you listening? I have to subscribe to that same piece. It slides into unconscious incompetency. I don't wake up in the morning saying, I'm not going to listen today. I get a little amped up. So I think one of the sales magics is the thing we learned in the first 10 seconds of any time we learn to sell. But the second one is that's a little bit juicier, a little tougher that I work on and I want my clients to work on. And that is urgency. How important is it in the client's mind to be working with me? If they think working with Rob or Jackie would be nice, we better be the low ball proposal, and it's not going to go well for us. If the more urgency that client feels, the less obsessed on price they'll be, the more interested in getting it right they'll be. And so what I have to do, just like my clients, is not only do I have to ask questions and listen, I have to earn the right to ask questions about whatever problem we think we may be fixing here. Forget my solution. I could care less about my product right now. What if there's no problem, there's no solution. There's no solution. We don't really have too much of a conversation. We're in there because there's a problem, probably a mild one. How well do I know it? How well do they know it? And how long am I going to invest in continuing to ask questions about that issue? If I do that as a salesman, if I teach my people to do that as clients, we can teach them to close and open a lot of the other tactics. They'll take care of themselves. That's the wheelhouse of the swing.
Love it. So, in your book, How to Change Minds, you talked about a gentleman that had a heart attack. He'd been going to the doctor every year. He was at the doctor's appointment. The doctor gave him the same lecture he'd given him 5 years in a row. And he'd done nothing. And then he essentially had a heart attack. And so I thought about, clients, it's almost like in consulting, when I do sales consulting, I feel like it's malpractice if I don't tell them exactly where I see opportunity for them. Now, if they choose to go after that opportunity, that's their business. I can't guarantee it. And I'm curious, when you see something like that, when you see a situation that you know a client needs to change, they don't see it, you see it, how do you bring that up? Yeah. Give me some tips on how you would bring that up, because I'm thinking of a situation right now have with a client, and I'm thinking, how do I bring this up? Because it's a big elephant in the room.
You know, there's a rule of thumb that I've always followed that one of my mentors taught me, which was, he never got my name right. He called me Joles. He said, Joles, don't want to call that client's baby ugly. He can call his baby ugly. You don't go in there and call his baby ugly. I'm like, okay. So to answer your question, I think it's, for me, it's resisting the temptation to actually tell them what to do. It's funny. One of the quotes that you'll see most online connected to me, and it should be, I've only used it for 40 years and like 5 books, but but everybody, like, how do you define selling? How do you define selling? I always tell them it's the art of taking an idea, plant it in somebody else's brain, and get them to feel like they thought of it. That's a process that we follow. So by me telling somebody how to do things so that they're, watch what they're eating, get a little more exercise, let's take better care of that heart, that person already knows they have a heart issue. But people don't instinctively fix small problems, they fix big problems. So everybody wants to find what to eat or religion or whatever it is when they've been knocked down dramatically. The beauty of selling, the reason why I love this industry, and I'm a proud card-carrying salesperson, is because I know what lawyers do. I know what doctors do. I know what engineers do. I think people forget what we do. And it's just as important, if not more important, than the occupations I just listed. We help people pass their fear of change. We help people avoid the heart attack. We help that business avoid losing their key person or their key account. Those are all little heart attacks when you look at it. And what they're programmed to do is to say, well, we know it's not the best thing for a client, but knock on wood, we haven't lost a big client yet. And that's the same as the guy saying, I've never had a heart attack yet. And we are equipped to help save that person. I just think it's vital, but we got to stop talking and do a little more listening to get there.
And it's, so what you're saying, just to paraphrase it, is ask questions.
I don't
get them to have that aha experience.
Yeah. You know, let me lay, and I'll do this in less than 40 seconds, I promise, because it's a big topic we're on right now. But I want to ask about the problem. Now, I don't even use the word problem when I speak. I use concerns, challenges, obstacles, because people don't even like that word. But I have to earn the right. I can't walk and go, hi, Jackie, don't know you very well, but tell me your biggest problem. So I can't barge in like I'm going to, you know, I have to earn it. So I earn it by letting you tell me about your business. Tell me about how we got here. Let's do everything but talk about the problem. But by getting you to speak and listen and learn and understand that maybe what I do is I have a widget that's a little smaller than the one that you use. I want to know, some of my questions are, tell me where it fits. How do you put that into that thing? What's the size of it? I'm around my topic, but never am I going to say, what problem are you having with yours? I earn that right. And when I do, I not only ask about it, open the door with what I refer to as an identifying probe, but open the door with, okay, let's talk about the size of that product right now. But when they go, well, it's this, maybe it's just a hair too big. I don't go, well, we can fix it with this. What I do is I say, interesting. Tell me more about that. Where are you trying to fit it? What are your clients saying? How often has it been an issue? When it is, what do you do then? How much has that been costing? The longer I stay and let them paint that picture for me, the more opportunity I have to actually take that idea and put it in their head. Because Jackie, the problem shapes the need. I'm not asking them, do you need a bigger widget? I'm asking them how that isn't fitting. And they're going to tell me, you know what? I need a bigger widget and I need it now. Good. Let me see what I got in the bag. Okay. That's the anatomy of a sales call. Very crudely, but that's what I'm trying to do.
So what is your growing edge? What's the thing that you're working on now?
Well, one of the things I'm working on is what we're doing right here. I've been writing what I call blarticles. I trademarked that term. I own that word. But anyone in the world can use that word. I just didn't want to build a brand and have somebody take it from me. So I am not hogging that word. But I write a blog article. It's going to be 15 years of writing these every 2 weeks without fail. I'm somewhat compulsive. But Jackie, I stumbled onto podcasting about 3 years and change ago. And I love it. I love having conversations like the ones we're having. I like meeting people, extending my network. I don't get that sitting by myself writing a blog. And so that's one. Right. And then I have so many side hustles, you get bored. But one other one is I am 13 years as a licensed, bonded, live auctioneer. I only do charities. And it was my way of trying to take, as a professional speaker, my skills and use them to give back to communities and to organizations. So that's another passion of mine, but I don't do it for the money. Usually I hand them my check and say, can you at least hand it to me so I can hand it back and have a tax deduction? But I actually really love doing it. I've met some amazing charities.
Wow. Well, thank you. I'm so inspired. And so our audience can find your book on Amazon, all kinds of bookstores, right?
Yep, yep.
And Audible. Where can they find, what's the best website? If we have somebody that's never met you before and you think this is the best way to be introduced to you, how do you recommend they go?
I would just go to JOLLES.com. Because there you'll find articles, you'll find podcasts. You're going to be on my podcast, as a matter of fact. So you'll find Jackie there.
Yes.
You'll find all kinds of, you know, what I do, who, videos, the whole thing. It's quite a garage of information. But I think that's always the easiest way. And other than that, like anybody else, you can just Google and find. But I think JOLLES.com is the easiest way.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for being on today. You've inspired me.
Great.
I've learned a lot, and I know our audience will too.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sales Magic. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. Learn more about the Business Champion Program at JackieLyles.com and across social media platforms.